Quick takes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of B-Movie Mania Quick Takes. I am your host today. My name is Paul Brooks, and Mike Hayes is joining me today. Mike, hello there. How you doing?
What is even happening, Paul?
Quick Takes is a show that we normally do in our off-season.
What?
And it's just a... Basically, we review a movie, but it's shorter. It's, you know, we don't have to go into all the details because we're trying to take a break here from stuff. It's the off season.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
This all seems like a fever dream to me.
Okay, good. That's fine because I am really excited about this episode of the show. We watched a movie called Bottom of the World. And I said to myself and I said to you, I called you. I said, you know, I want to have you on my quick take, but we definitely need a guest for this.
Yeah.
And I said, who would be a good guy to have on the show to discuss this movie, Bottom of the World? And, you know,
I said David Lynch.
And he wasn't available. We tried.
No, we tried.
But we got the next best thing. His name is Derek Hagen. Derek, hello.
Hey, guys. Next best thing. I love that. Right behind David Lynch. Perfect.
Yeah.
I'll take
David
it.
David Lynch
I'll take it.
And it's Derek Hagen. That's it. We all know it. It's the classic hierarchy.
Yeah. Well, if there's a movie that you don't want to spend too much time talking about, it's definitely this one.
Wow. Just straight out of the gate. So, B-Movie Maniacs who pay close attention to the show might recognize Derek from a movie that he starred in called I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker, which was, I believe, Mike, was it the season 3 finale of B-Movie Mania? I was not around at the time, so I'm a little...
You were still on your jetpack vacation.
Right.
And we did a season closer. I remember Jay saying, I found this really fun-looking movie, and the guys involved seem cool. So do you think it's a good idea if we review this in hopes to entrap them in some sort of honeypot to become our friend?
I don't know that that was necessarily the plan, but Derek, that is kind of how it worked out, huh?
No, I'm going to pull the curtain right back here. Jay really wanted to be Derek's friend, so he reviewed the movie. 100%, 100% Jay asked if that was cool. I'm like, of course, it looks fun. Let's do it. And that's why we did it.
That's 100% awesome.
Why the movie was picked.
Well, it worked because we are our best pals for sure. We talk a lot, and we're working on a project which Paul is super excited about.
Wow.
Yep, Paul.
Paul is
Can't
super
wait.
Excited about it. He's also just a little nervous about it.
All right, well, nervous is a good word. It's very ambitious. It's very ambitious. For
right.
Sure, for sure.
But you're right. We talk every day, and I know that I speak for all of the maniacs when I say that I'm happy that you are in our lives.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, you guys are awesome. You guys make me laugh. And I don't even know how it happened, but I think I just sent a message to all of you guys. And then it just became this group chat that we just continue to talk. Yeah, it has to be every day that somebody says something in the chat.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about usually B-movies or anything that makes us laugh. And it's so amazing that I found you guys and we're able to connect because a lot of people don't understand my sense of humor. So.
Well, we appreciate having you on the show because the other thing is, you know, you're a big fan of what we do, of this podcast, and we appreciate that very much.
Number one fan, I like to say. I have listened to all of the episodes and some multiple times.
Wow.
I love the, if I ever get in a bad mood, I listen to the shopping mall one. I love that one. but I've listened to the Bad Taste one is actually one of my favorites too. Those are the top two.
Wow, we got to go back to some roots then. Those are old. We're doing something wrong now.
Oh, I like to. What was the last one you guys did? That other one.
No, actually, you said that you really enjoyed the Anna and the Apocalypse special.
That was the good one. The Christmas one, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's shut the fuck up and stop sucking each other off
no,
here.
No, let's jerk each other off
and talk about a movie called Bottom of the World. This is a film, and I know that you guys are probably like, what are we doing here? I mean, Mike, you already said it. What is happening? So let me just explain real quick, if I may. Chris Hudson and myself did a episode of his show, his spinoff show, Uncle Chrissy's Hard to Finds. And on that episode, we reviewed a movie called Corn, which also starred an actress by the name of Jenna Malone, who is the star of this film. And at the end of that episode, which actually for the listener hasn't come out yet, but we've already recorded it. It's coming out next, I think. I said to Chris, we should do another Jenna Malone movie. And so I started looking at her movies and I said, oh, you know what? I remember really liking Bottom of the World when I first saw it. Huh. Let me see if Mike and Derek want to chat about this one. So it's kind of a Jenna Malone off-season double feature type thing that we're doing.
Perfect.
That makes a lot more sense because I was actually going to ask you why you decided to pick this movie. So that actually does make more sense.
The other thing about this movie, I'll go into some quick details in a second here, but for me, this is one of those movies, I'm sure that this has happened to both of you guys at some point. You're hanging out by yourself, you're not quite sure what to watch, you want to just put something on, and you kind of just pick something not knowing anything about it. I'm going to try this movie, you know, and just kind of see what happens. That's what happened for me with Bottom of the World, and like I said, I remember really being surprised by how much I liked it the first time around. I saw it a handful of years ago in like 2017, maybe when it, you know, first came out. So, you know what? Let's do some quick takes.
Quick takes. Quick takes.
QTs?
Yeah. just, you know, hit me just real. I mean, real. You got to make it shorter than a normal quick take because it's a quick take. So, Mike, what is your QTQT for Bottom of the World?
I don't even know if we're in our own podcast or someone else's right now.
Okay, very good. Derek.
Art house Matrix on crack.
Whoa.
That's a proper one. Okay.
yes. Mm-hmm. Bottom of the World came out in 2017, hour and 25 minutes long, not a long watch. We watched it for free on Tubi, if you're interested. I believe it's also... Well, Mike, did you watch it on Plex?
Oh, I ended up not. I forgot that. I got to watch cool Caesars Casino ads instead, so I'm kind of happy I did. That kind of put me in the mood along with it, you know, Vegas and Albuquerque.
Starring, as mentioned, Jenna Malone as Scarlett. A fella I'm not familiar with, really, Douglas Smith as Alex. Ted Levine as the preacher. And Tamara Durante as Paige. So, Derek, you're a special guest. Lay it on me. Tell me what this movie is about. I like your short, quick take description of it. So I'd like you to expand upon that a little bit, if you would, please.
Well, I really thought that's kind of what it was like we're in a world, but then there's another world. And then you find out at the end that it's not. It's one world, but created in a subconscious woman that is losing her life.
I think someone else is dreaming this.
But Alex, look, how can we be in someone else's dream if you're here?
If she dies in this world, then she wakes up.
If who dies?
And if she wakes up, then we're...
Alex, this is real. This is real, you and me. Nothing else matters. Just ignore whatever is going on out there.
But it is her subconscious, and she has created people in her life, and she has done something horribly. Her cousin was in a car accident, and they end up taking him in, and she ends up watching them. All the parents just leave her to helping him. Well, he won't talk, and he's in a wheelchair. He's paralyzed.
I really shouldn't have been watching him, but I mean, there was like no one else. So, I mean, I was so young and he kind of sickened me. I mean, he smelled, I mean, particularly when he took a shit, and he just constantly had this like drool running down his face. So I kind of started fucking with him.
She goes into this really detailed event that she did, and she would torture him. Just do awful, horrible things to him. Even one point she would jerk him off, get him hard, and then stop, and just weird shit that was just awful. And she would do weird things, and it made me uncomfortable. And yeah. Then she was like, and he's like looking at her, he's like, "You did that?" And she's like, "No, that's the worst thing is telling you." So she makes a joke about it that she didn't do it. Well, you know, by the end of the movie, you know that all of this is true. And that scene really fucked me up because the acting is so good. Like, I believed every fucking word that she said.
Oh my God. Did you see what I just did? That is the worst thing that I've ever done.
At the end, you find out all of it's true, but even worse. So her subconscious is her boyfriend, Alex. So Alex is in a dream in someone else's dream. So he's not even real, right? But he thinks he's real. But he's not controlling everything.
All right, hold on a second.
Hold on. Derek, what fucking movie were you watching?
Yeah, we have a couple things to unpack here. First of all, Mike, I'm going to let you get to it. But first of all,
okay.
I want to say that the...
Alex is not real.
Hold on a second. Back up.
Okay. Hold on a second.
All right. I love this little motel, the El Rancho. Mm. Such a old school Route 66 motel. I want to say that it's actually in Gallup, New Mexico. You said Albuquerque.
Yeah, they filmed in Albuquerque and I think Gallup and then Ottawa.
And Canada, too. Yeah.
Canada, yeah. Probably where that mansion was.
Okay. Yeah. Other than that, Mike... Go. Do you disagree with some of the things that Derek just said?
No, I just learned a lot listening to him, Derek, you say this. I absolutely forgot that intro thing where she tells that story, right? It was very good. She presents. It's very well done. It's fucked up. And then she just says she's joking. But when you were describing this, like, oh, there's a car accident. And this says, I'm sitting here going, what the fuck? When did I didn't walk away ever. I paused it when I got nachos. So I don't know what I missed. And then I remembered... I mean, you said it was that monologue at the beginning. That's like 4 minutes long of her just intensely telling these awful things.
And by the way, you know, she says, what's the worst thing you've ever done? She gives this big, long speech. The worst thing he had ever done was steal Twinkies like 20 minutes earlier.
What is the worst thing that you've ever done?
Truth or dare?
Sure. Like the meanest, most rotten, horrible, dirtiest, dishonest, like despicable thing that you've ever done.
Well, I took the five-finger discount on these back at Santa Fe. Is that not what you meant? Oh.
I mean, that's unforgivable. You go to hell for that, Paul. So,
I guess, yeah, they're about on about on the same page here with...
If you jerk off a Twinkie, does it not cream just like your cousin?
Oh, boy. I wouldn't know. Wouldn't know what to tell you.
Paul, keep that in.
No. Well, let's back up for a second here and just talk about sort of like what's interesting to me is the couple different layers that you mentioned here, Derek. Because at the beginning of the movie, they're going to this hotel. They're in the desert. You guys know me, right? I mean, Mike, what do I like?
Deserts.
Yes. What else?
RVs.
Yes.
The bears.
Well, yeah. Motels.
Motels.
Yeah.
Route 66. 69.
No, Route 66.
Route 66.
Yeah. I like all these things. So you can imagine me watching this movie for the first time. It's hitting all the marks for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But then the second half of this thing really does transform into this completely other movie because of this whole sort of dream aspect that Derek mentioned. So I want to know if you guys think that that's really, I mean, Mike, what is your interpretation of it? Because you seem kind of surprised by what Derek had said.
Well, because I missed it. I mean, I was thinking about this. It's like, it's a very self-indulgent movie, right? Like the way it's made and presented in the story, not in a bad way, but like, as opposed to like, it's I referenced David Lynch before. He's very self-indulgent. He writes a script. Something happens in a movie because he wants it to happen and he feels it should happen that way. It's not necessarily clever or useful for the viewer. It's just what he wants, right? And I feel like this movie kind of does that in the sense of Someone came up with an idea where it's this dream, but it's the focus of the dream is not the dreamer. It's someone else, right? Someone else in the dream. Like you said, Derek, the Matrix kind of deal, right? Mm. And so it's that thing. So it's very interesting to follow this once you figure out sort of what's happening, that you're following this other person, and then it kind of clicks in when you realize that he doesn't think he's real.
I'm obsessed with this idea that I don't think I exist. I don't think you or any of this is real.
How long have you felt this way?
I wake up and I feel like I'm still in a dream.
Is it fair to say that it's very Lynchian in a lot of ways?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'd say so.
Yeah. But again, I don't think that that is necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I don't think it's fair that David Lynch gets to completely corner the market on weird stuff, you know?
It's true, but no, but this is absolutely inspired by even the editing. Like, that end scene where she's sitting in the chair and she's giving her speech again, trying to get him to kill her. The editing is cross-faded while she's giving the speech to him, and it's this whole thing. It just feels like a Lost Highway scene. Like,
I was just going to say Lost Highway for sure.
Hit me. I deserve it. I deserve it. I want it.
No.
I want it, Alex.
No.
Hit me!
Shut up. No.
You feel at first, when I first watched it, I'm like, well, fuck yeah, she get hit by the shovel, even though she killed herself and she deserved what she got. But then you like really think about it. It's like this woman has held on to this guilt for so many years and she didn't realize how bad this was until she got older. And then like you, so there's like two matrices, right? There's the real world where she's dying. And then you have the Matrix one where she's in love with this kid and there's a preacher there and you find out that the preacher is the father. Well, and then you have the other Matrix too, which I think is more connected to the real world, where you have the husband who plays the father in Matrix one. So right there, the basic, in my opinion, they're saying that she married this older man because she doesn't have a father figure in her life.
Scarlett! Scarlett!
I'm the only one who's here, Alex.
How do you know my name?
Well, a better question would be, why wouldn't I know your name? You've been running around with my daughter, haven't you?
Daughter? Scarlett's father's dead.
She told you that. Well, that there cuts the patriarch right to the quick.
And they don't really say he's a good man or a bad man, but it looked like he loved her. There's certain scenes. He wasn't very affectionate. She wasn't very affectionate to him, but you could see that he wanted to be. And I think that's why she attracted to him. And I think she started drinking and all these memories started probably coming up. And now she is taking some pills and her subconscious is going through everything that she's been feeling this whole time. And it's like, then all of a sudden you're like, fuck, did she deserve this? And I think even when she was coaching him on, I would have done it 1,000 times, she says, that, you know, I would have killed, because at the end you find out that she actually murders her cousin.
You remember, don't you? It filled my lungs, my throat with mud. Even if I wasn't paralyzed, there was no fighting against it. There was nothing I could do. Look at me. I want you to know what happened to me. Do you know what happened to me?
Alex figures out that he is the subconscious of Wayne, who is her cousin.
That's right.
So he's saying that you killed me and that I could see you covering up the dirt and stuff. And then he at first he doesn't want to kill her. But then she says, I would have done it 1,000 times. I would have laughed. And you think like she deserves it. But you're thinking, in my opinion, after thinking about it for a day, I think she said that because she wants it to end. She wants the pain to end. She wants the guilt to end. I think she's in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And he finally, you know, killed her.
Can't you see that you're nothing anymore? You're not Alex. You're not some hooded man. You're not the little boy that I killed.
Shut up.
You don't even exist. You're only good for one thing, and you know it. So just do it.
hit me.
And then I thought, then I was thinking like, wow, I'm really thinking about this movie, but I'm like, am I thinking about this movie for the podcast, but, or am I thinking about this movie because it's really affected me? I think a little bit of both, probably.
Hmm.
I mean, it definitely put me in a bad mood that day. And I was, you know, and I'm watching my kids the whole day, and it just put me in this really crunchy mood, you know?
Hmm. I feel like she created this other character in her dream to then try to save her. So she's, her conscience is following around this Alex guy, her boyfriend in the first part of the dream, trying to help her who's in distress that whole time. And then she disappears and he goes on to try to find her, but it's still her mental stuff happening. So she's hunting him down and this whole, and then it just twists around and like, yeah, it's fucking weird.
Well, that's important to point out too, because Jenna Malone's character of Scarlett is, gone for like half the movie in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird to, the idea of having a character dreaming about something to then not have the person dreaming, you know, be gone all of a sudden.
You're my neighbor.
That's not what I mean. Don't you remember me?
No.
I want to mention that this film was directed by Richard Sears,
mm-hmm.
and it was written by two guys, Brian Gottlieb and David Kowalski. So if any of you gentlemen happen to be listening to the podcast, you know, sometimes it happens where we'll put out an episode and, well, Derek, you're living proof that sometimes the filmmakers hear it and, you know, respond to a tweet or whatever, hit us up. Let us know if we're right about any of this.
Yeah, let us know if we're correct.
We need to know.
No explanation.
Or come on the show. Or come on the show, sure.
we'll do a new spinoff series called Explains It from the Source.
Who got it right? I think that's all we want to know.
Who got it right? just say who got it right. We'll put bets on it.
So I'm curious, Derek, you know, like at the top of the episode here, it sounded like you were going to really be laying into this movie kind of based on what your quick take was. But so what's kind of your consensus on this? Did you like it?
Well, I think my quick take was misunderstood the way I said it. I meant like this is a great movie to pick on a quick take, because I think there's a lot to unpack in this movie. So I wasn't saying that I hated the movie. It was more like this might not be a great movie to do such like a quick take, because there's so much involved, you know. There's things that I haven't even discussed yet, like Paige's character. Like I feel like, I don't even know if I'm right on this, but I feel like she, in her subconscious, Paige is who she wants to be, because she's perfect, she's pretty, she's, you know, they have the beautiful house. And then the house that they're next to is not nearly as nice as the house, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I think in her subconscious, this is the woman that she wanted to be, and she's not.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
When did we meet?
That is such a silly question. We met yesterday. I'm your wife. I love you.
I mean, there's a lot to think about. I was just saying there's a lot to unpack on this one.
Right.
This actually is a pretty good one to do quick take, because this is the first time we're having the sponsor Talkspace on B-Movie Mania, where you can have nice therapy.
There you go. All right, well, I feel great, guys.
Didn't get the memo on that, Mike.
Oh wait, we didn't get the sponsorship ad.
No.
Okay, never mind. Go. You have to go see your own therapist on your own now.
So I don't know that we always do this on quick takes, but I like to do it. So we're gonna do ratings. Rating time. You have to stick with my rating scale. Sorry guys. Sometimes we deviate from it, but it's a quick take. I'm only making one graphic.
That's fair.
So the rating scale for today is going to be 1 out of 100. Camcorders that somehow start live broadcasting and playing music as soon as a strange guy hits the little red button on the back.
Do me a favor, hit that record switch for me. Spare me the indignity of having my audience see me scurry up on the moon set.
You fucked yourself on that title.
No, because if it's all three of us, if it's all three of us doing it, then you just go all the way across the bottom.
I know, but I'm just saying you're the reason we can't do our own fun ones, because you've got this elaborate, complex, twisting in on itself, you know, mind fuck of a rating scale.
It happened in the movie. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I'm going to mention, we didn't talk about that part. I'm going to mention it in my rating, don't worry.
Okay. Let's start with you then, Mike. Go ahead.
So just to get that out of the way, there is this weird scene where there's this church and like the preacher's there and he does televangelism type thing, but it's just him and it's weird. It's fun. But there's a moment in the movie that I really, really thought was very fun was Alex, our main character, opens a Bible. He's snooping around. He opens a Bible and there's a gun cut out in it, right? And he pulls the gun out, puts the gun in his pocket, closes the Bible. And then there's a confrontation with the preacher in a completely different part of the building, different room, where there's another Bible. And the preacher opens up that Bible, has another gun cut out, pulls that gun out. And then Alex goes to grab his gun that he stashed, and it's gone because the preacher pulled it from a different Bible. And, like, it's just the logic is just weird. And I really liked that. If you pull the gun out of a different Bible, that's the gun, and the other ones are gone. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting, weird, before I knew this was all going to be a dream thing. You know, that makes sense in dream logic, but I liked that a lot. Anyway.
Everything, though, with the preacher I thought was really fun. Like,
yeah, it's
creepy,
a good,
weird, you know. I thought, what's the actor's name? Ted Levine, I thought, did a great job in the role. I thought he was great.
Yeah, yeah. And the black masked guy that shows up throughout was an interesting, weird, unique seeming character.
Let me give him a shout out. His name is Kevin Owen McDonald.
Yeah. I liked that. Yeah, that desert noir, I guess we might call those types of scenes, those parts of it that were there were very enjoyable. I liked the movie. I think it's weird. I think you go in knowing it's going to, I think it's good to know that it's going to be weird because it's, it's weird. I don't know that it ties everything together to my understanding as much as I had hoped for like a clever twist or something, but I think it does successfully do the stuff, you know. Scarlett's fucked up. It sucks.
No doubt.
So I'm gonna give it 74 buttons on the back of a V8.
You don't have to do it. It's the thing
that starts music when you push the button.
Yeah,
time
close enough
for the preacher man.
Yep. Thank you for that, Derek.
You're welcome.
Well, the movie's weird. It's not. I was a little curious on why Paul picked it, because I'm watching it. I'm like, well, this is not a B movie. This is no. There's no monster here. There's no bad acting. Like there's no bad CGI. Like what's happening? You know. So at first I was a little off put, but once I settled in and just was like enjoying the movie for what it was, I did like it. I tend not to watch these movies because they do require thinking. My life is so busy with kids and I'm married and I'm going to school to be a barber of all things. And so the last thing I have time for is to sit down and watch a movie that would make me think, but sometimes it is nice to do that, you know, because I don't think I've thought about a movie in a long time like this. It really is a mind fuck. I enjoyed it for that. But I am happy that I'm going to go back and I have an album of B movies that I'm going to be picking after I finish Night Flyer.
Okay.
So I'm going to give this movie, I was going to give it 74.
You can do it.
We could double down, buddy.
I'm going to double down. 74 camera operators that like to push red buttons.
Yeah. Nice, short and sweet. Love it. I picked this movie for Quick Takes specifically because I didn't think that it would really fit in necessarily for a regular season episode because it's not, you know, necessarily the thing that we normally do. But to be honest with you, this is the kind of stuff that I've been gravitating towards. I mean, we did The Tall Man last season.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I like to mix it up, you know. And I just thought that when me and Chris were talking about Jenna Malone, that this would be a fun one to do. I agree with you, Mike, that it certainly didn't tie up every loose end, but, you know, a lot like any David Lynch movie you're going to watch, that it's almost not the point, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost to do something like this, to have a conversation about it and sort of get different people's interpretations of it, which has been fascinating to me, actually, to get everything that Derek was talking about. So, you know, I think it served its purpose in that respect. So I liked it a lot. I will admit that I think the second half of it, when it switches over to the more sort of like mundane, everyday, nice apartment type stuff, kind of slowed down a little too much for me. So I think the front half of the movie is maybe a little more compelling than the second half, but then at the end it does come back around and more, it just basically desert stuff is what does it for me. So as long as you're keeping stuff in the desert, I'm going to be a happy camper. I liked it. I would recommend it, especially because, you know, as of right now, it's free on Tubi and Plex, and you can go check it out if you want to. I think it's on Pluto TV as well. So I'm going to go, I'll go 82.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Thing with the Things rating system, which you can see the graphic on down below under the episode on bmoviemania.com. And while you're there, buy a t-shirt.
Oh, are you going to have another t-shirt added to this?
No. Oh, yeah. What? No.
No.
Son of a...
What would it be? If you had to design a t-shirt that somehow was a bottom of the world referenced B-Movie Mania t-shirt, what would it be? Without infringing on any copyright and pissing off Richard Sears or anybody else involved.
I'll go. Yeah. My idea was having Slade Craven riding a video camera in the desert. Like that video camera in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
With the red button flashing, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's just riding that in the camera. And then there was a quote that you said in the beginning that I forgot. I thought, well, that'd be a great album name.
A quote from the movie?
No, Mike said something that was really funny in the beginning, and I can't remember it, so that doesn't help.
Did I say it, or did my subconscious say it?
Where are we?
I do like the idea of the continued adventures of Slade Craven on our t-shirts.
I like that as the idea of a cartoon show, The Continuing Adventures of Slade Craven, which is a CBS Saturday morning cartoon show.
Yep. Well, my shirt's not as good as that, so it's just... Mine was, you know, those that generic and format of t-shirts. It's like the name of the Friends characters and I want Paul. I want your rating description and then mine and then Derek's and then what you said at the bottom.
Oh,
so just have 800 words on it. But
oh, those are popular, and I could pull that one off. I couldn't do Derek's idea. We'd have to get Johnny for that one, but I could do your idea, Mike.
Ah, well, I win, Derek. Oh. Suck it.
Suck it, Hagen.
Talk to Johnny about Slade Craven writing a like a 1998 VHSC camcorder. You know, it's good. Derek, very much appreciate you being on the show. I know that we touched on it a little bit at the beginning, but what would you like to talk about in terms of, like, you know, plugging your stuff?
I usually plug House Harker, which you can watch on Amazon Prime or Tubi or Plex even. The full title is I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker. We also have our YouTube page, Good Cops TV. We actually put up a lost episode of The Good Cops that it's a rough cut, so it's not finished, but it was supposed to be aired on a actual channel that we were hired to do. And then apparently it was passed on, but you can post it. So it might be taken down because we don't have the rights to it, technically.
explain to our audience what The Good Cops is.
Good Cops is basically Anchorman meets Lethal Weapon. That's the best way to describe it. It's over the top cops that believe they're doing the best job ever, and they're pretty bad at everything. Or are they? So check that out, Good Cop TV. And
that episode you just talked about is really funny. Like,
oh, good.
it hit me home, and probably Paul too, where, because it's not all the Good Cop stuff references video games, but this one specifically is a take on GTA. And the star system. It's very fun. I won't give away the jokes, but the star system exists within this episode of Good Cops, and it's really funny.
Yeah, and we were hired to do that for a channel at that time. It was like 5 years ago we hired to do it, and they never aired it. So we're like, we'll pulse it up until they take it down.
Yeah.
If I could promote this other movie, I don't talk about much, but it fits this world, I think. I play a character that's driving in the desert going to Vista Points, and I don't really know why. And I'm being followed by a cop, and it's just a really weird, kind of twisted David Lynch-y kind of movie. And it's one of the only serious roles I've ever done. And it's very, very low budget indie movie that me and this guy did on our spare time. And we drove out to the Grand Canyon, and it's called Vista Point, and you can watch it. I think it's 99 cents, but it's on Vimeo. You want to check it out.
Okay. But sweet. I didn't know about that. I want to check it out.
We spent a lot of time in the desert. So if you like desert stuff, Paul, you might want to check it out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Paul's cactus is going to be so prickly watching that.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Quick Takes. We have more off-season content coming out very soon, including, I don't know if we've mentioned this on any of our social media yet at this point in the off season yet. So maybe this will be the big announcement right here. We have a Valentine's Day video special coming up that was supposed to come out last off season, but it was so big, so epic. I said, I'm not doing this. And I needed a full year to mentally prepare myself to edit the episode, but it is coming out this February, so stay tuned for that, in addition to a lot more fun and probably stupid off-season content from B-Movie Mania.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Derek.
Derek, say goodbye.
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 Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They're touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!